Morning, everyone. Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting will now come to order. Anyone has any cell phones or any other audible devices, if you would silence them now, please, not to disrupt the rest of the meeting. And if you'd stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. First up on our agenda today is item 3, this is discussion and possible action, approval of the agenda for April the 2nd, 2019. Mr. Witt, do we have any changes or alterations to make to today's agenda?
We do have one, Mr. Chairman, thank you. We would like to move item 21 up to immediately following board comment with a little asterisk on it, but so long as our engineer is here who's on his way.
Okay, very good. Any public comment regarding today's agenda? Ms. Clark.
Well, was that first?
Yeah.
First off. Nicole Bard, Story County resident. I'd like to request that the item regarding the, what is it, the indemnity agreement be pulled off consent and added to the regular agenda so that we may understand why there was a need to do this and what the cost of the county would be.
Okay.
Thank you.
It's an item, it's on the consent agenda. It's Lance, it's consent agenda 4, it'd be item B5, indemnity. Any other public comment? And then I get a motion to approve.
I'll move to approve today's agenda with the exception of moving item 21 up to follow board comments and removing item 5 from the consent agenda for open public hearing.
What? Very good. And we'll hear that immediately following the consent agenda.
We'll second that.
It's been moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
And staff's recommendation, Mr. Chairman, is to hear item 5 immediately after the CEO just approved the consent agenda. So.
No, we didn't.
Okay.
We just approved the agenda.
Okay. When you approve the consent agenda, staff's recommendation would be to hear item 5 next.
Correct. Thank you. All right. Next up is item 4. This is today's consent agenda. Is there any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? All right. It's already been agreed to go ahead and hear item 5 immediately following this. So
I'll move to approve today's consent agenda with that amendment.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded to approve today's consent agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. All right. Next up will be item 5 of the consent agenda. We'll hear that now. It's for possible action to enter into an indemnity agreement to indemnify Dave Mendiola, the county manager of Humboldt County, for recommending action in regards to a Story County personnel matter.
Good morning. Ann Langer, Story County District Attorney. The indemnification agreement is related to a personnel matter where the person that would generally hear the matter is the county manager, Pat Whitten. Since he has a conflict of interest, the person that would be the person that would hear the case would have to be somebody that is similar in position to Pat, which is the Humboldt County county manager, Dave Mendiola, who has agreed to hear this. This has happened in certain situations. I know that Pat had a situation years ago where Churchill County had actually called him in a similar situation. So virtually the person coming in would stand in the position of Pat, and so therefore he actually is working on behalf of the county as if he is Pat. There's no cost involved, is my understanding, and that's pretty much all I can really talk about in relation to the matter at this point.
Thank you, Ms. Langer. All right. Any public comment regarding item 5? Okay. With that said, if I can get a motion to approve.
I'll move to approve.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded to approve item 5 of the consent agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Moving along now to item number 5. This is discussion only. We'll take no action or public comment. These are committee and staff reports. We'll start on the right side of the room with Sheriff Antonoro.
Just one thing real quickly, and not to take away anything from Commissioner Carmona. Everybody's aware of the legislation on the gun control bills that's going on. Both Commissioner Carmona and I have had several people reach out to us regarding the county's position on the gun control and on a potential of a Second Amendment sanctuary type of a deal. We scheduled some town hall meetings. We had the first one last night. I think it was pretty well attended. And I have another one tonight here in Virginia City. It'll be at the high school at 6:30. Next week we have one down in Lockwood. And then we're still working on scheduling for a Mark Twain meeting. But other than that, invite everybody to attend if they have any questions, concerns about that. Commissioner Gilman was there last night at the Highlands along with Commissioner Carmona. So I think we had a good turnout. We'll see where it goes.
Good.
Questions for me?
Thanks, Sheriff. All right. Our operations and project manager, Mike Northan.
Thank you, Commissioners. Mike Northan, Operations Projects Coordinator. Just a couple of small items regarding Piper's Opera House. Windows, I'm told the original windows are about 98% complete. I'm going to be scheduling with the contractor to get those reinstalled. I need to find out if he's going to work from the inside, if he needs a man lift, in which case we're going to need to get him some fall protection and get him squared away on that. It's also been brought to my attention just recently that some of the brick, the exterior brick on the building is deteriorating, getting loose and falling out somewhere in the vicinity of the entrance to the corner bar there. So I'll be looking into that, getting some quotes for getting that brick repointed, have a look at the rest of the building, see if we need to address any other items on there. Last item is we do have a single quote for renovation of the doors. This was a per-pair quote. I only have the one. This is Bill Park of Central Sierra. He's done a lot of good restoration work for us. I'm having difficulty getting some other quotes because there's a lot of greenfield construction. People aren't too interested in getting into these historic renovation or rehabilitation projects. So I'll let you know as that proceeds.
Great. And that's the same company that did restoration work on the front of the courthouse as well?
I believe so.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, very good. They did good work. Thanks, Mike. All right, over at the BCTC, Danny Dotson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. Good morning. Just a couple of quick things here. We cleaned off our boots from the last week's event down there at the fairgrounds, but we wouldn't be able to do it with all the sponsors, including, again, the donation by Tigert Materials to help build a road in there. It kept the rest of the town from getting pretty muddy. But overall, 150-some room nights for 3 nights in the middle of March, not a bad gig. With that, I will let the cat out of the bag. Next week is 2019 Rural Roundup out in Fallon this year. That's Travel Nevada's conference they do each year to celebrate and, I guess, promote tourism in the state. It will be announced that Virginia City will host that event in 2020. So that'll be April of next year. So look for that announcement formally out next week, so which is a good thing. That'll be about, 250 participants for about 4 days. And what I understand is there is another conference that wants to piggyback on the back of that. So we'll have them again through the weekend. So more information to come. Special event-wise, we have worked out a tentative plan for the Virginia City Grand Prix through the Fire Department and the Sheriff's Office. We still have a little bit of detail to do, but we will have some limited racing on C Street this year with the Grand Prix. So, again, we're still working through the logistics, but it looks like we have a plan in place that will work for everybody. And then, finally, I think I already mentioned that I know you're talking about our tentative budget, but the BCTC was approved last month. So we are good to go with the balanced budget. So, any questions?
Questions?
If I might add, before Denny leaves, his and his team's good groundwork with NCOT and Rural Roundup has put us in a great position, I think, thanks to Commissioner Gilman and also Commissioner Kirkpatrick from Las Vegas, and to hopefully be the host for a future NACO Nevada conference. So he's proven that we can put together enough rooms, enough heads and beds to make it happen.
Yep.
Yeah, it's nice to bring in these conferences in the shoulder season for Virginia City.
Absolutely.
It's great. Yeah, thank you, Dave.
You're welcome.
All right, over at the community chest in the library, Eric Shaw. Nothing? Okay, thank you, Eric. The community relations, Sherry Neva.
Good morning, Sherry Nevin, for the record. I would like to introduce Lisa Taylor today. Lisa is the new extension educator for the UNR Cooperative Extension, Story County and Carson City. She just started right around the first of the year, correct, Lisa? And we have had just a great working relationship so far with her. She started a nutrition program for the seniors yesterday. It'll be every Monday at the Senior Center from 10 to 11:15. So we're so happy to have Lisa on board and look forward to working with you, Lisa. We also have Sandy here from RSVP and the services that they offer here in the county. They've been around for many, many years. On April 16th, you'll probably be seeing an item on the agenda for the first in a series of presentations by the U.S. Census Bureau. As you'll know, they kicked off yesterday. That's kind of the year mark away from the 2020 census. So we have been assigned a census partnership specialist. I met with her last week, as well as a recruiting specialist. So they'll come and kind of give an update on how important the census is, what it determines, and kind of how we can help them to get the word out and get folks to complete their census and help us here in the state. They're also looking for folks to work part-time. They offer some pretty good benefits. Pay is pretty decent. So if anyone is interested in that, like I said, part-time, limited-term jobs, you can visit 2020census.gov and learn more information about that. So the gentleman who's doing the recruiting has been in town a couple times at the Senior Center. We're going to try to get him connected with the schools as well. So that's all I have for today.
Great. Good information. Thanks, Sherry.
Uh-huh.
Our Director of Emergency Management, Joe Curtis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. Just a couple of quick items here. We started our planning already for our October hazardous materials exercise, which is we held annually at the industrial complex. And this year it looks like it's going to be with AUECC. Is that right? I refer to them as the alphabet company, basically. I'm surprised I remembered that, actually. They seem to be very excited about partnering with us on an exercise. So I think that's going to work out good for us. Also, we'll have forthcoming here, we've completed our updating for our emergency operations plan, which we have to do every 5 years or so. And that's been just recently completed, and that will be being presented to the commission, I think, probably at the next meeting or so. Or a couple of meetings down the road, possibly, after we get it reviewed from the district attorney's office and so forth. So that's been completed. And the bad news, I guess you could say, is it appears that the owls have been displaced by the pigeons. I hate to have to tell you this, but So I noticed that the pigeons have taken over that little nook up there, and the owls didn't return this year. So I'm off the hook for that one. That's all I have. Any questions?
No.
All right. Thank you.
I think the owls have moved into my neighborhood.
Cool.
Because I can hear them up there.
Oh, it's not good.
Story County Senior Center, Stacy Gilbert.
Nothing today.
How about public works projects such as water, sewers, and other unknowns? Mike Nevin?
Are you?
Yeah, I'm setting mine too.
Yeah, I don't believe it.
Yeah, just a quick update on the tank projects out here. Staff and myself met with Far West and USDA last week, and we hope that at your next board meeting on the 16th, USDA will have all the documentation ready for your consideration so we can move forward with the adjustments needed in the loan and grant for that project. And it appears we have an excellent chance of getting some loan funding to complete that as well. So that's some good news from USDA. And then, of course, we're rolling that almost $600,000 into that project left over from the pipeline. So. And then I'm here just for the item 21 as well. So.
Great.
That's
just
pretty quick.
That's a record.
I should have put the clock on.
I did. 24 seconds.
Oh. I'm going to make sure that got on the record.
Director of the Fourth Ward School, Mar Mather, nothing today? Okay. Public Works Director, Jason Wersbecky?
Nothing today.
Nothing? From community development there, Peter Renault. Yeah.
Peter Renault for the record. Morning, Chairman, Commissioners. Just a real quick update. March has been really busy. A lot of jobs ramping up. Plan review had 28 new projects reviewed, and permits to go along with that were 59. So this next month is getting busy, as Mr. Gilman would know. If you haven't been to the park, on Peru, at the Fulcrum Project, there's a tower crane up. I would say it's probably the first tower crane ever in Story County. Pretty impressive, the project up there. Be nice to take a tour out there sometime. Also, myself, Joe Starnes, and Ashley Mead, excuse me, I got a dry cough today. We attended ICC certifications last week, and Ashley passed her commercial ICC cert, and Joe and I did our fire plans examiner. That's all I have for today. Any questions?
Okay, great. Thank you. County Assessor, Janice Seddon.
Good morning, Janice Seddon for the record. Hugh Gallagher has asked me to come up and basically give a report on tax management. And tax management is the audit company that we have hired to audit business personal property in Story County. We basically did this not to try to stick it to the companies, but to make sure that our audits were correct, not only for us, but for the companies out and try. That was primarily a lot of it because a lot of these companies were from out of state. Their accounting departments were out of state, and we found that a lot of the stuff that they were reporting was getting left off because they weren't really as familiar with the Nevada business personal property practices as they should be. So It's taken a little time because it is a lengthy process when you audit these companies, and figuring out the process was also a very kind of a touch-and-go process. However, the last time I was here, I didn't really have any good numbers for you, but now we're starting to see these numbers. So we started this audit back in 2016. We audited 33 businesses, or I should say 33 accounts, because some of these businesses had more than one account. So I should say 33 accounts instead of businesses. The cost of the audits were $61,500. However, the amount that we ended up billing for this personal property was $484,755. Of that, today, we have collected $185,719 in 2016. The large majority of that audit, which is that $105,147, most of that is Zulily, and we literally, from 2016, just finished this audit up like 3 weeks ago. So that is getting ready to be billed. It has not been billed yet. So we had some really tremendous results from these audits. In 2017, you see that we dropped back a little bit. We have 29 accounts that we audited, which cost us $48,100 for a total billing of $685,835. To date, we have collected $136,881. You will see in a comment down below, there are two companies that we foresee some issues with collecting, and they're very large bills. One of the companies, the largest company, Arrow, has pretty much, they didn't want any part of this audit. They haven't been forthcoming. They didn't even let the auditor in their building. So, therefore, per Nevada statutes, there were estimates put on. Still no response, even though they've received the billing. However, this billing went out after business licenses last year. Because, like I said, it took us a while to get all these together. If we have not heard from these two companies, these bills will be attached to their business license, and they will not be allowed to renew their business license until these bills are either paid or they come forth and they work with us to figure out what they really do owe and what they have. So we're basically right in the middle of the 2018 audit. This year we are only auditing 19 accounts. The cost is going to be $33,600. To date, we have not billed anyone yet, but the estimated billing so far, and we've only received a couple of accounts back, is $84,773. So that being said, you may wonder why we keep going down each year. When we went into this process, and we were trying to look at originally it was a 3-year deal. We were going to try to audit as many of our larger accounts as possible, because there is a cutoff. Because your smaller accounts, there's really no profit. It really ends up costing more to audit them than the return that we get back, unless we have issues with the company. The first year we got hit really hard, and we had the 33 accounts. The next year we were still at about 32, but TMA, we were kind of really overtaxing them, not like money-wise, but account-wise. So we cut back. This year we picked the ones up that we didn't audit last year and then added the other ones. So we are expecting even probably maybe only 10 accounts. Because we have, as Pete just stated, we have a lot of new businesses coming in to Story County, but we don't want to hit them with an audit in year one or year two. We need to let them get in, get going, and then if we start having any issues, then we will probably closer along to their 5-year mark hit an audit then. Is there any questions?
No, great.
Great program.
Yeah. Perfect.
Nope.
Keep the mic going.
Trying.
All right. Also in attendance today, we have County Recorder Jen Chapman.
Nothing
today. Okay. County Fire Chief Jeff Nevin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Nothing
today. Thank you, Jeff. Sherry introduced Sandy as RSVP representative. Sandy
Severance.
Yes, sir. Have you anything you'd like to talk about today?
Sure.
Right.
I'm Sandy Severance. I'm the program director for RSVP. It's just always a pleasure to talk about the wonderful things that we do here in Story County and throughout rural and frontier Nevada. So for those of you who don't know about RSVP, we provide probably our greatest program is our transportation program. We help those that are 18 to 59 with a disability and those that are 60 and above. We get them to the Veterans Administration in Reno, doctor's visits. We also take them shopping so that they can socialize and do other things. Here in Story County, we have a van placed over in Lockwood, and we're using that every Saturday to take seniors to go grocery shopping. There are a lot of other activities that we have in store, including home companionship respite program, which is really needed in some of our smaller communities. We pay special attention to veterans. If a veteran has a request to us, we always make sure that we take care of them. So we just want to say thank you for your support. We're grateful. And if you have any questions, we're in Carson City, but we're just around the corner. So thank you very much.
Great.
Any questions?
Thank you for your help.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Director over Communications, Dave Ballard.
I'm nothing today, thank you.
Director of Planning, Austin Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. If you want today, I'm just going to go over a couple bills that our team are watching down at the legislature and leave it at that. We're watching about 50 or 60 bills. Our lobbyists are watching hundreds, and these are the ones you probably have most interest in. AB, and some of these numbers have changed, so I would just disregard the ABs and SBs. But this is both assembly bills and Senate bills regarding workers' compensation. There's a group of these. In essence, it would change the police fire or the fire mechanism for workers' comp regarding cancers to such of a situation where you could be in a firefighter volunteer situation for 2 weeks, and when you're 18, 19 years old, and then when you're 70 years old and you have a cancer completely unrelated to anything to do with a fire type of incident, potentially could be covered under a workers' comp situation. That's one portion of one bill. There's heart-lung provisions that are being changed that would add all kinds of things that have nothing to do with heart-lung. It's another provision. There's another one very impactful where right now we'll challenge certain workers' comp cases if we believe that they're not legitimate. Under one of these new bills, if you challenge a case and then you lose, then you will be charged a penalty of $200 a day for the entire time that you were in that in challenge situation. I've had workers' comp cases in my office last in excess of a year and a half to 2 years. So imagine the fiscal impact that would be caused of something like that. And we believe that no jurisdiction would challenge any workers' comp case, even with that provision alone. Really what this could, and this is opinion, could happen is that this workers' comp insurance companies in the state of Nevada would just leave the state and there'd potentially be a centralization of workers' comp into the state itself. That's a theory. And Clark County is not pushing this. Some people think they are. They're actually pushing against it. It's my understanding that there's a $20 million potential impact a year to them with all of these combined together. Senate Bill 111, this regarding collective bargaining agreements, instead of having a 25% end fund balance to the point where you're subject to opening that contract again, it'd be reduced down to 16.67%. That is more reasonable than we expected, 5%. At the end, it's my understanding it's about a two-month operating amount for you to, you know, operate your county. AB 132, marijuana during hiring. The new bill would allow a candidate that is hired to have marijuana in their system, and you would not be able to not hire them for that reason. There are provisions in here for police fire, but there's concerns for other safety-sensitive positions like drivers, inspectors, things like that, that this would not apply to. That there could be the hiring of safety-sensitive positions with people with marijuana in their system. We're monitoring and watching that. There is the Skip Daly's AB 240. This is the one where Story County and Douglas and Carson, Washoe, and now the cities of Reno and Sparks and Fernley will have to come to the table and have a conversation about transportation, housing, and other kind of regional matters of regional importance. This bill has been watered down 90% into we're going to talk, we're going to have a nice session, and then we'll provide a simple report as a group to the legislature for that committee to review and look at. That's about all this bill is. We're finding that we believe that it's a win with the work of our lobbyists in the region in getting that bill down to where it is, to next to nothing. AB 397, this is the misconduct by public official bill. This bill would authorize the Nevada Equal Rights Commission, which is the essential state version of EEOC, to recommend impeachment to the assembly or to a grand jury for an elected official that creates gross misconduct sexually, and it would be substantially severe are the words. I understand that the AG's office is coming in and asking for additional. There's certain type of language they would like to see in there. We're monitoring that bill and watching its progress. And that one's being sponsored, I believe, by Benitez Thompson. ACR 6, this is a resolution. This is to create an interim study committee for the study of brothels across the state of Nevada. And this would be then that study, the results and the findings would go to the 2021 legislature for consideration. And they would look at things like conditions and contracts and the processes by which brothels conduct their business. This is in response to some discussions that have gone down in the legislature. We're neutral on this one. The region is neutral on it. We feel if they want to go ahead and study it, probably what they're going to find is that things are done very professionally and done in accordance with the law. They will involve in this study sheriffs, boards of county commissioners, brothel owners, workers at the homes, and the health district, as well as others in this study. And last, SB 413 is the brothel ban bill. We're vehemently against this bill. This would take away the population cap in the state of Nevada of $700,000, which would have the effect of actually banning brothels in all counties. This is sponsored by Senator Hardy. It's in the Judiciary Committee right now. We believe an estimate would be about an $800,000 to $1 million impact against Story County. Other counties of our size with brothels would experience likely a similar type of impact. Lyon County has been very strong against this bill as well as others. And right now we're monitoring this. We're preparing testimony, and our comptroller's office has been looking at the fiscal note of this. There are other bills, but keep it short. Those are the ones I think you're most interested in.
Great. Any questions for Austin?
Thank you.
Great. Thanks for that, Austin.
Okay.
See, Kathy Canfield joined us. Anything from the planning department? Okay, thank you. Over the comptroller's office, Mr. Gallagher.
Nothing in general, Mr. Chair, but if you want me to, there's some bills that I had seen. If you want to knock off the next one as far as the legislative update, I can do that now.
Sure.
The diesel tax is in committee and moving forward. This would have a tax rate on diesel fuel. Obviously, the truckers are against it, even though they're probably the majority of the people who tear up the roads. So it's moving forward. The other bill is the elections. We may have to go back to the old way of having a primary and a general. That's being talked about. Court fines and fees. There's a bunch of these that are on the agendas, which would make it very hard for any of our courts to collect fees on certain misdemeanors, based on traffic, whatever. Or a lot of these fees would go to the state and get $100 back. It's very, very bad legislation. We're obviously against it. And then the other big one is public records requests. This is about the newspapers in Las Vegas versus the Metro Police Department. The cost of this could be substantial. We're definitely against it. But for those people who continue to want certain information and then all of a sudden there's a lot of going by our clerks and assessor's office as far as redacting information on people as far as public records. This has been a term that's going to be very, very costly if all this stuff is approved. So that's all I have. Sure.
Thanks. And in reference to the diesel tax, the truckers might be not in favor of it, but the Nevada Truckers Association, some of those funds will go to rest areas for the truckers themselves. Thanks, you. Chief Deputy District Attorney, Mr. Loomis.
Keith Loomis, District Attorney's Office. Two things. First, at the last meeting, the school district came before you and asked for an increase in the residential construction tax. We've had a chance to take a look at that, and it's going to require that a business impact statement be prepared in advance of adopting an amendment to the ordinance imposing the increased residential construction tax. So that process is underway. Second, we have received a public records request from Jason Guinasso, who is the attorney that's handling the federal lawsuit to ban prostitution in the state of Nevada. He has asked for all the applications for work cards for the last 10 years. It's been our office's opinion fairly consistently that the identifying information of the working women is private and is not subject to disclosure as a public record. But I think that that's likely going to result in a suit being brought to try to require that those records be released. This is Mr. Guinasso has made the same request of Lyon County, and they have refused to disclose the information with the idea that it is confidential private information.
Great. Thank you, Chief. Super Attorney Ann Langer.
I have nothing today.
County Manager, Mr. Whitten.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To further expand on Hughes and your comments as far as the Trucking Association. Paul Enos has been very good to work with. And this is in large part due to the team of Austin, Hugh, Bum, and the Walkers. A certain portion of the taxes collected, if enacted, would go, as you mentioned, to truck parking areas, both to the construction of and the maintenance of truck parking areas. If you've ever driven I-80, particularly in and around the Verde area, but really this extends clear out to Elko, you will see trucks backed up and stopped, particularly during winter conditions, but also they've got hours restrictions on the times and everything. So the association itself is very supportive of this bill. A couple of just, I guess, housekeeping details. One is Chairman McBride, Hugh Gallagher, hopefully Chief Deputy District Attorney Loomis and myself have a meeting scheduled on April 22nd to meet the new Director of Taxation, Melanie Young, new governor, new director. So we want to revisit the zip code and make sure that they are on board and properly functioning. And then, as you'll also recall, at last meeting, you guys interviewed three applicants extensively for my replacement. Commissioner Carmona has requested as much information as he could from the 18 applicants. He obviously had information for three of them, and through Linda Ritter's help and good work, we have provided him a matrix of the rest of them without identifying them by name or place of employment. Since we did not have releases. So that's been accomplished. And then Commissioner Gilman asked for the possibility of one or more, at least one one-on-one follow-ups with the given candidate, and scheduling that is in process as we speak. That's it, sir.
Great. Any questions for Pat? No? Okay. Save the best for last. County Clerk? Nothing today? All right. That concludes committee and staff reports. We'll move along now to item number 6. These are board comments. We'll take no action in public comment. So at the far end of the table with Commissioner Carmona.
Nothing.
Just wanted to echo what the sheriff said. Very pleased with the turnout for the town hall last night. I encourage everybody, if you have the time tonight, swing by the Commons at 6:30. Discussion was fantastic. Everything was pretty civil. I know it's a pretty heated issue, but, you know, to get out there and getting citizens' opinions is extremely important. So if you have the time, please join us tonight at 6:30.
Great. Thanks, Jay. Vice Chairman Gilman.
A couple of items, if I may. Obviously, based on the testimony we've heard here today, brothel operations are a hot topic in Carson City, and several bills are pending. So I'd like to comment the fact that Mustang Ranch here in Story County has been visited to date by several of our legislators, and the general consensus is, among many, is that Mustang Ranch is the poster child of excellence and professional operations. And I believe it's important to point out that Sheriff Antonaro and his crew have a lot to do with that. Their oversight of the operations and their insistence that we follow strict protocols have certainly played well in Carson City. And so I want to recognize the fact that we should be proud of our operations here in the county. And I thank everybody involved. Sheriff Antonaro, thank you. Secondly, I'd like to read into the record a bit of a statement at this point that probably is considered new business, or should be. Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Carmona, ladies and gentlemen, as we start discussing our budget for the upcoming year, I'd like to introduce a bold new initiative which would allow residents to share in the success now and in the future of our county. So you may recall that I've tried for the past 4 years or so with the commission and staff to find a way to rebate or to refund or lower our tax rates for our county residents. And I'm going to say that this has been a very frustrating process for all of us, for me especially. We just have not been able to find a way to get this done. So we need to keep in mind that the financial success of the county, where our revenues have gone from $3.5 million years ago, 10 times that, they're now at $36 million, and that's all happened in the past 17 years. Tremendous impact already, and more coming. The three unions of our county employees have done very well during this process. Virginia City has seen a lot of financial progress, including but not limited to the recent purchase of the fairgrounds, new sewer and water projects, the Virginia City Senior Center, getting great support, has a great food program, Piper's Opera House, fairgrounds. This is all great stuff. I absolutely agree, and it was long overdue to be sure. Our county is prospering. For the next 5 years, I'd like to see us spread that success more into the outlying communities. Lockwood, Virginia City Highlands, Mark Twain. So, to that end, I would like to put forward and propose the following plan. For Lockwood and Mark Twain, I'd like within the next 30 days a town hall meeting in each community with our planning department and our public works, participating to get ideas and suggestions from the residents about how they need the need for capital and capital projects in their community, and then for those to be funded in our coming budget. I'd also like to see immediately a $25,000 a year for each senior community center, and I'd like those funds earmarked for allocation to stock a food pantry with staple products for the elderly and the families in need in those two communities. I'd like this added to the current budget. I'm very familiar with those needs in those communities. I'd like to ensure that our current plans for upgrading the senior community centers in Lockwood, Mark Twain, they're fully funded. And I'm looking for confirmation from the comptroller that this is the case and being done. For the Highlands, I'd like discussions to commence immediately with the Highlands community regarding whether the county should take over the main arterials, Cartwright and Lousetown roads. This means they would be dedicate those roads to the county, and the county would be responsible from that point forward for the upgrade and the maintenance of those arterials. And if Commissioner Carmona and the Highlands residents do agree to this idea, then these costs should be added into our budget. This would relieve the residents of directly bearing the maintenance and cost for those roads. More importantly, or most other arterials in the county are maintained by the county or the state, and we should do the same with the Highlands if they so desire. This is an important project for all of us. So if my fellow commissioners agree, I would like all county staff to do what it takes to bring these plans into a reality. It's all doable, it's all legal, and it's certainly very timely. So I ask that we please join together and get these issues done. And thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Great. Thank you, Lance.
You betcha.
Very good. So that's too tough of an act to follow, so we're going to move on to item number 21. Next up is the discussion of possible action. Approval of the Gold Hill Wastewater Treatment Facility, Nevada Clean Water State Revolving Fund. Project loan application estimated in the amount of $1.5 million. Sherry Nevin.
Good morning, Commissioners. Sherry Nevin for the record. I have here joining me today Lucas Tipton from Far West. You all are familiar with Luke, I'm sure, he's been here many times. I'm just going to give you a little bit of a background kind of on where we're at, and then Luke's going to fill in with more of the technical engineering details that I'm not so savvy on. So, Story County staff, we've been working with Far West and MDEP, which is the Nevada Division of Environmental Protection, for several years now, to come up with the best solution for a Gold Hill wastewater treatment facility. Long story short, we've kind of come to a conclusion with MDEP that they are willing to permit a process for a 10,000 GPD package plant for the community of Gold Hill. And I'll let Luke speak a little bit more to that, but I'll get down to kind of what the agenda item here is really about. And that is an application to the Nevada Clean Water Revolving Loan Fund, which is a program through NDEP that provides loans for infrastructure construction to publicly owned wastewater systems here in Nevada. Story County has already submitted a required pre-application for this process, and we have been placed as number one on a Class A priority list for funding this project. Principal forgiveness funding for eligible recipients for the types of projects that we're proposing under the additional subsidy allowed by the program may be provided up to $500,000. So that means they would give us $500,000 principal forgiveness. Since our project has been deemed a Class A project, they have a little bit of leeway here to make some fluctuations in that amount of funding based on the category that, you know, it is Class A. So we have been given some information that they may be able to support up to $530,000 of this proposed project. And the balance of the project, we would then look to USDA, CRF, and USDA work well on projects together. They fund a lot of projects throughout the state. So we would be able to get some money through them, and then the balance, hopefully through USDA, between possibly loan and grant funds. I spoke with USDA late last week, and she was hoping maybe by today she would have some numbers to me as what might be available in grant funds, but I don't have that. So we're hoping, as we mentioned earlier, that by the April 16th meeting we may have a little bit more information on that. So we're still working to pull together all the engineering costs associated with this project, and I think Luke may have a little bit more information on that. So I'll let him get a little bit more detail.
Okay. Thanks, Sherry.
Great. For the record, Lucas Tipton with Far West Engineering. Just a little bit more history. You know, the Gold Hill Community Septic System has roughly 20 connections, 25 maybe, that collect to a centralized location where it's treated via a standard large septic tank and leach field. With the clayey soils you have around your area, that doesn't leach well, where the
water can't get into the ground well, and so it's been failing for a number of years now. We looked at this originally with the wastewater project at doing a pump station there and pumping it over to the Virginia City collection system. Problems with the great, you know, vertical distance that you would have to cover to go all the way from there up to basically where the water treatment plant is. It would include three lift stations, and when bid prices came in, it was between $5 and $6 million, which was, you know, hard to justify for 25 customers. And so county staff, we worked and removed that from the wastewater project and looked at some different alternatives. We've done numerous alternatives analyses and working with the state on what other solutions could be permitted there. And we did have really good news 2 months ago that a standard 30-30-10 plant is what they call it. That's the same type of permit you have at your Virginia City plant here that discharges to the Six Mile Creek watershed. And so it's a very standard means of treating wastewater. It, you know, it doesn't have to be overly expensive or super fancy. And so, but there was a lot of negotiations to get that determination. They were worried about the connectivity to the Carson River watershed, and but we feel that NDP, you know, has made a correct decision here, and so we're now proceeding on designing a small package plant. It is kind of the term you'll hear thrown about, where we buy a plant from a manufacturer and we'll install it there. Probably be partially buried. It'll all be screened through a wood slat fence, so it will not be. It'll look, I don't know. It won't be an eyesore for the public. But the big impact is cost. Is we've gone from looking at, you know, $5 to $6 million for some pump stations to maybe just under $2 million. Where now we think we can get this project. The most recent estimate from our engineers, we're looking at a little under $750,000. So I really think we've done a good job at finding the correct solution for Gold Hill, and as we pursue this funding with SRF, we're hopeful that we can get this project designed and constructed within the next year and funded.
May I add something?
Yeah,
there
it is.
I want to
emphasize a few of Sherry's words and also Luke's. Number one on the Class A priority list, this has been a toxic situation that NDEP has actually been very patient and very supportive of. But I want to thank Luke, Sherry, Jason, Mike, and the team. I've attended several of those meetings, and they have persevered through all this, and the other costs and the other fixes were much more intrusive. So, and believe me, we tried everything from asking if we could just continue pumping it. That was not acceptable based on the clay conditions and others. So I thank you guys for really addressing, although it's a small dollar amount based on the fact that we got it down to only yeah. $750,000, hopefully. It has probably been our number one environmental concern for quite some time.
Okay. Commissioner, have any questions? None?
When we go ahead, we'll open up the public comment.
I see Johnny Dufresne's in the audience, and he's a resident in the neighborhood.
Oh, excuse me. John Dufresne, Shore County resident. We own the adjacent properties to the proposed sewer plant in Gold Hill, and I just want to voice my opposition to having a sewer plant in the backyard of my dad's house. I know I realize the need for it. I'm a plant operator, so. But It's going to devalue the property considerably. It's going to impact my brother and my dad's house. So I just wanted to voice my opposition to the project, although I understand the need for it. But there's got to be something.
Do you have any recommendations for any other solutions, Donnie?
Pump stations would be great, but I know the cost is prohibitive. The ground doesn't perk there, so can't do like it's been doing.
This plant's going to be built to the north of your property, is that?
I'm not sure exactly where.
Where the septic is now, John.
It would be south. It'd be downhill.
Yeah, so it'll be to the west, southwest of my dad's house.
All right, okay. I got a visualization of that now.
The prevailing wind comes up the canyon, so it's kind of like...
Yeah. I just wonder if it would improve the value of the property if you wanted to do future development by being able to tie in any new development into a new...
Would you want a wastewater plant next to your house?
Well, you know if that answer is... I mean, some people don't want a mining pit in their backyard, but I've got one of those too. But, I understand your frustration with this. Without any better solution, though, I don't know what else the county could do. The better solution might be a pump station, but then when you look at the expense of it.
Right. So, and I understand it's prohibitive. But I don't know, maybe some compensation. The loss of property value. I mean, who can quantify that? I have no idea.
I'd like to consider taking this up with the Planning Commission and maybe review the impact a tiny bit further. I could see going ahead and approving this study. But I'd like to look at the effects of the information.
And I don't want to hold the project up. I know it's desperately needed, but I just need to voice my concern. Nobody knows more than me probably about how needed it is.
Right, exactly.
But,
okay. Thank you for your testimony, John. Is there any other public comment regarding this? Okay. We'll go Mike and then we'll go to Chair.
Yeah, one of the considerations that we did look at down there, and I certainly, see what John is concerned about, was the fact of, the view shed. We're in a historic district down there. Gold Hill is part of that. What would we do to minimize those sort of impacts to the best of our ability? And a couple of things come to mind is one, and I think Luke a little bit made mention, the plant will be below grade as much as possible, so it'll be installed below grade. With the fencing. The other thing is we will not store any solids on site down there. So that should considerably help as far as any odor concerns. The other thing is with a blower. And we're talking about, if you were to go down and look at the plant down here in 6 Mile, a 200,000 gallon per day and down to a 10, so about one-tenth of the size, is the blowers, will try to isolate sound protection and that sort of thing. So, it is what it is, and we certainly, are trying to do our best to minimize impacts, that may develop. But we really have no choice. If you go down there right today and take a look, you'll see why we need to move on this project.
Okay.
And I'll add, if I may, our assessor's in the audience. I'll certainly talk with her about property values and that type of taking into consideration, John, for the entire family.
Are you bumping Jerry out of this spot?
Right.
Do what?
You bumping Jerry out of this spot?
I guess. I don't know.
Go ahead. We'll bring Jerry.
Jana said, and Story County Assessor. As Johnny stated and everyone else, we know there's a desperate need for the sewer plant. It's one of the main reasons why we're, with the exception of Comstock Mining, there has been no growth in Gold Hill, in the Gold Hill area, because people can't come in and build houses because they can't hook up to the septic. So whether wherever we decide to put it, that is going to bring increased value. I totally understand Mr. Dufresne's his objection to having a sewer plant. I'm not going to lie, I don't think I'd want to have one right next to my house, but the way that we value property in Nevada is it's value per light property in the area. So if people start coming in and building and buying, the value of his property is going to go up no matter what, even if he has a sewer plant. I mean, unless it's like really bad, but from what Mr. Nevin has just said, it sounds like they're going to do their best to make it aesthetically as non-appealing as possible, or as appealing as possible, excuse me, and then the smells and stuff. So it's very possible that with that sewer plant that his property values could go up, even though there is the detriment of the sewer plant next to it. Again, it's a possibility. Until it happens, we don't know.
Right. Okay. Thank you, Janet. Jerry?
Jerry Antonoro, my position as a resident in the neighborhood down there, not as the sheriff. I've not really followed the issue because it's had no effect on me. And like Mr. Dufresne, it's going to be just below my house, basically, from the sounds of it. And not real keen on that because I catch all that wind and everything that comes off of Comstock Mine already, and I grow corn on my windowsills most days. Just from the dust that blows in from that. I didn't put up any kind of a fuss over the whole Comstock Mining project. Half the mountains are gone in front of my house looking out my window. I look at a big scar on the ground, a big hole in the ground. I say, I didn't fuss about any of it all. I'm not real pleased about having a sewer lagoon right below my house when I'm not even connected to it. It does not benefit me one iota. I'm on a septic system. And there's been no conversation about hooking up my house to it. And don't know if that's feasible. And even if it were, it probably would come with one heck of a price tag that I would have to put the bill up. So one more vote in opposition of it. I don't know what it would take to recalculate. I understand trying to save money. I understand trying to develop the area and grow everything down there. You know, just below Silver City, there's a treatment pond that they're using. Is there a way of tying into their system, partnering up with Lyon County? I don't know where their lines run to, just below the hill. We're talking a stone's throw away from what you're talking about, but not at all in favor of looking down the hill and seeing a sewer lagoon out one window and a open pit mine out the other.
Thank you. Mr. Mitchell, come on up.
I don't know. I need to talk to you, basically. is there a way to, like, enclose it in a building and make it, like...
You could look. I think you're talking about, you know, basically like a shipping container or smaller, like, footprint. So we could look at doing some type of shed structure over the top.
Yeah, because, you know, It's the first thing you see when you drive in the historic district. And if it looks like a ship plant, it looks like a ship plant.
Keep in mind, we do have to comply with the regulations of the Comstock Historic Districts and it is an historic district.
And a ship plant.
You know, if we can make it look like a mill building or something, and then possibly put like air scrubbers or to deal with some smell.
Yeah.
Something to think about.
Absolutely.
Lucas, to Jerry's question about tying the system into Silver City.
We did look at a lot of options and going down. Silver City is mostly on individual septics, and many of them are failing as well.
Is there a treatment plant in Silver City?
I don't. Yeah.
No, that's a girl.
Yeah, I didn't see that. Is there something about taking sewer across county lines too? Isn't there? Isn't there some regulation there?
I think it's technically possible, but you know, you would be a bulk rate customer of Lyon County's, but it obviously you guys already actually supply their, you're their water provider for Silver City.
So it might be an option to.
But the cost of even going down there would be great. Like one of the big costs in the $5 to $6 million lift station, pump station alternative was the pipelines to get it down there and then to send it back up. So I would, you know, just working on a site. The cost of construction is much lower.
Pipeline and going, easements, too, as well.
Yeah, and easements. And going miles.
And the potential environmental impact if there was a failure pumping that stuff.
And
John, I'll commit as staff for the remainder of my time here that we will work on design and work with you. Because, I mean, if anybody knows what's got to be there, not as a resident, but as a manager, it's you. So we'll do the best we can on both scrubbers and definitely on building design.
Absolutely.
And then another huge cost was power to get the three phase up to the lift stations.
For the lifts. Yeah.
Yeah, for the lift station, but we were looking at like 75 horsepower pumps, so it would have to be three phase power, which does not exist right now at that location. Just to get it up there was around $50,000 from NV Energy. But with a plant, we're talking much smaller motors, pumps. I think where everything's going to be under 10 horsepower, where single phase can still be utilized. So we're going to explore that in the design phase to see if it's worth it, because long-term three-phase power is more efficient than single phase.
But it was three-phase to there. It goes up to the mine entrance.
It was just a little bit south when we looked at it for the three lift station alternative. It's close. Yeah, and if you know, so if you can keep it under 50,000, maybe it's worth it. But we'll do that cost benefit as we're designing it.
Why don't we go ahead and hear what Mr. Mitchell has to say?
Thank you, Chair. Clay Mitchell, a Virginia City resident, Gold Hill property owner. I just had a couple of questions, and the first one is, or is there an anticipated, like a USDA shared amount? Do we have an idea of what that would be like we had added to the sewer bills here in Virginia City to help pay for the cost of the repairs that had to be done? Do we know what that would be? That's my first question. And then my second question is, and you'll have to apologize for my ignorance in this, but would this system just serve the current customers? Is there a provision for additional hookups to handle the housing growth needs that we have in the future there in Gold Hill? It seems like if we're doing it, we might as well be looking at that as part of it. Again, I apologize if that's something that's been discussed, and I'm not aware.
Okay, we'll have Sherry go ahead.
Sherry Niven, for the record, I can speak to the USDA cost share that you mentioned, Clay. We do not have that information yet from USDA. They're still working through all of their loan and grant documentation to be able to determine that. In an ideal world, we'd be able to get grant money to go towards this, and that's a fingers crossed, hopefully, we can get that. But if there is loan money, yes, there probably will be some small.
But I think it's important, if I may add to that, $500,000 of principal forgiveness from the Clean Water Group revolving fund is the state's equivalent of a grant. So there's an assurance there of hopefully at least $500,000, maybe a skosh more.
And yeah, so we're talking about possibly hundreds of thousands or tens of thousands of dollars of loan instead of millions with the other project.
Lucas, do you want to go on about the additional hookups?
Yes. That's still something that we're going to continue to look at through the design. In the past, we've limited the size of this to try and keep costs as low as possible. So I think we had somewhere less than 10, maybe additional hookups that could hook up to the system for the 10,000 gallon per day plant. Now, as we're designing this, it might 12,000 gallons per day might be a nominal cost increase or no cost increase over a 10,000 gallon per day plant. So we will try and provide as much capacity as we can that keeps costs reasonable so that the impact to the ratepayer isn't significant.
Are we continuing to look at the impact on the surrounding property owners for the selected site?
For the impact of
the sewer treatment plant located where it is, mm-hmm. and the surrounding property and those impacts.
Environmental impacts, like view and noise or cost? Okay. That's always something that we'll include as we're looking at design. I think John's idea of putting in some type of, you know, screening on the plant, whether that's a building all the way around it or maybe it's some structures placed at different angles to break up. So you're not seeing down into the plant. One correction on Sheriff Antonoro's, it's not going to be a lagoon. It won't be a sewer lagoon. It'll be like a shipping container, but it will be open to the surface. There might be grating on top of it, metal grating where the operators can walk on top. But it won't be an open lagoon with cattails growing or anything like that.
Austin, you want to weigh in?
Mr. Chairman and Mr. Gilman and Carmona Austin, I was born for the record. I'm not going to go into details. This isn't really my project, but your suggestion to have the planning department take a look and work with these folks on something, this is what we do, and we'd be happy to work with them and do that immediately. So whatever it takes. Thank you.
Chairman, briefly 30 seconds.
Okay.
Clay Mitchell again for the record. I just want to say that I certainly don't want a massive sewer plant in Johnny and Jerry's yard, but at the same time I think there's definitely value in looking at if there's a way to increase, to support potential, hooking up those who have private septics that we hear there are similar issues in the area, but also potential growth in that corridor. I think it'd be valuable for the Gold Hill corridor. I think it would help people's property values. I'd love to be a part of that conversation and hopefully come up with some solutions that minimize impacts but also open those opportunities. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Clay. Okay, continue on. Additional public comment on this item?
Hi, Kelly Dufresne. I am a property owner, and the sewer plant will be going in my front yard. I'm really excited about that, obviously. I just do the best that you can. It's going to devalue our property tremendously, and it's been where we have been since 1968. So it's a big deal to us. So whatever you can do to minimize the smell and the look of it, not only for us, but for everybody that drives up that road coming into Virginia City as your customer and your visitor. It's not really, I don't think, what you want the world to know Virginia City as, the smelly city, you know. It's not what you've worked all this time to build as a reputation. And it's not what you want people to see when they first start to come into town. Half the world stops at that pullout to look at the Gallus Frame on the New York line and then look up the canyon at the houses and whatever. And you've done a great job of protecting a lot of that the best that you could with all the mining that's gone on down there. And I think it would be a shame for you to throw that, well, in the toilet. So, anyway, you know, there's 100 million cliches I could say up here. You know, my mom gave that property to the county when they were in dire straits many, many years ago to save them from a very similar situation. And had she ever, ever dreamed that they would be wanting to put a sewer plant in our front yard, she would have raised holy H-E double hockey sticks. And I just want you to remember that she's still here and she's still with us. And if you don't believe that, you will certainly find out in the near future because she won't be very happy with you. I can't say, I mean, it's not, I'm not a NIMBY because it's not in my backyard, it's in my front yard. And you know, plume of scent will be right into my other brother's property, right on his front deck where he sits out in the summertime and watches the deer and the horses and whatever come across his property. So, and the house behind him and the cabin and the house behind that. And I don't know what to do. It's a bad spot for us to be in, for sure.
Well, thank you, Kelly. It's not that we want to put a sewer plant down there, but we're being forced to. It's one of these deals from the higher ups, you know, NDP is forcing our hand. If we could just continue to pump it like we have been, we would be good with that. But they're not going to let us continue like this. So.
And I think the timing from the Dufresne family, Sheriff Antonaro, Mr. Mitchell, is perfect because we can take all these concerns into the design and do our very best. I mean, we've already carved out, Luke, correct me if I'm wrong, but probably pretty much close to $1 million by getting the 30-30-10 or the 10-30-30 solution as opposed to having to go through a higher standard, which also helps us, by the way, with our VC permit renewals as well. So I think, you know, at least the message I know Mike's hearing, Carrie's hearing, Luke's hearing, I'm hearing, and you guys obviously are, we need to take these mitigating factors and mitigate them as best we can and communicate with the neighbors as far as, okay, how's this design look? You pretty much did that with BC getting CHD approvals, if you go back to that.
Yeah.
You know, I think we can do even better down here. And Johnny, for you, EVAP ponds were an option that were being given, and we adamantly said not only no, but hell no, that we do not want the visitors coming up or the residents to be looking down at what you see in lower Silver City. Or, you know, so, no. We'll work on it.
Sure.
Kelly Dufresne again. Have you put together a site plan for this yet? Like, where on the parcel will it be located? Have you got that far?
Yeah, basically the footprint's going to sit right on top of the existing leach field is where it will go. But we have not put together extensive site plans or you know, section views, elevation views of it, but that's absolutely something that we will incorporate, and we can do some renderings and, you know, get the public's input on different alternatives so that you know, we mitigate this to the greatest extent possible. I agree that any treatment plan is worse than no treatment plant, you know, but right now, too, we do have a failing system. So we have raw sewage on the ground as opposed to a contained engineered system. And so that's what we want to make this as best a project as could possibly be. Yeah, that's very doable.
Any additional public comment? Okay. Hearing none, if we can go ahead and get a motion to approve this loan application.
I have a comment, Marshal. I understand that all we're approving here is the county manager moving forward with a loan application for money. I'm concerned, listening to this today, that the residents in the area of the facility really don't understand what we're doing and where it's going. And I'm concerned about that. I'm uncomfortable with that. So I'm prepared to move forward with applying for the loan, but just to tell us that NDB is going to force us to do something that is going to impact the residents, I really want to look at that seriously. I'm not sure what that looks like as I sit here today, but I'm sensitive to their concerns.
Absolutely.
And I don't want to arbitrarily. They don't even know what it looks like. They don't know where it's going to be located. They don't have any idea what the visibility or the smell or the I think we have to be sensitive to those folks who've lived there for decades and the impacts that we're going to impose on them. I think that's not fair. So I'm willing to approve, as a commissioner personally, the fact that we're going to apply to these grant funds. But I'm not prepared to say that I want to approve that it go there in any shape, way, shape, or form, that we don't even know what it looks like, where it's going to be located, or how it's going to operate. That's very uncomfortable.
Very good.
And I don't, just sharing it for the record, I don't think that was our intent today. We have to go through the process as with anything. You know, you apply and then you work through everything. So it will be a process. We'll definitely be coming back before you, Planning Commission, Comstock Historic District, and the residents.
Yeah, and our planning department is great. And so I sure want to know they've wrapped their arms around this and are sensitive what's going on there.
All right. You get a motion?
I'll move to approve the Gold Hill Wastewater Treatment Facility Nevada Clean Water State Revolving Fund, CWSRF, project loan application for submittal to the Nevada Division of Environmental Protection and authorize the county manager or his or her designee to sign all associated grant documentation.
Right. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
We're moving a second to approve this. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Okay. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you.
We'll move along now, going back to item number 7, discussion of possible action. Resolution 19-527 to be a signatory to the Carson Water Subconservancy District's submittal of an amicus brief with the Nevada Supreme Court opposing the use of public trust doctrine to be applied to water rights already adjudicated and settled under the doctrine of prior appropriation. Mr. Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Commissioners. I'm just going to introduce Ed James from the Carson Water Subconservancy. We're supporting this as staff, and I'll let Ed explain what we have here, and I'll be happy to handle this out.
Thank you. For the record, Ed James with the Carson Water Subconservancy District. Excuse me. And a while back, I brought to your attention the concern about this litigation on the Walker River. And even though it's on the Walker, the concern with using a public trust to supersede prior appropriations is a concern not only to the people on the Walker, but should be to every water right owner in the entire state of Nevada. And at that time, when I came forward to this board mentioning this, brought to your attention that either you consider participating on your own, or if you wanted to participate with our legal brief, you're more than welcome. You have something in your board pack originally. There are a couple changes to what's there because we have the Humboldt River Water Authority is participating in our brief, and so they had a little write-up. Douglas County is also participating in our legal brief, so there's a little write-up from there. We have not heard back from Carson City yet, but they are going to submit on their own or participate. You should know by the end of this week which way they're going. But the majority of what you have in there is the same. It's just that when you have someone else signing on, they have to have a little statement about their participation. And Story County also has a little write-up in there. Willing to answer any questions you may have. If you participate or not participate, the real important thing is I think you need to voice your concern that, if you can use a public trust to supersede prior appropriation, any water rights that you have in your county could be subject to loss in the future if this is going on. So, again, it's a real concern that I see probably the most impact to any decreed water right or prior appropriation and needs to be fought.
Do you have some questions on this, Lance?
I don't
know more about water rights than anybody else. Jay, do you have any questions for Ed?
Not at this time.
Do you want to have any public comment regarding this item? Okay, now, staff's recommendation?
Mr. Chairman, staff is recommending that the board adopt this. I will look to the district attorney's office on exactly how they would like to word that motion, but there is a motion prepared for you, and that is here on the first page. And I believe, based on my conversations with Deputy District Attorney Keith Loomis, that that motion is okay, but there is a resolution component that Mr. Loomis may want to clarify.
Keith Loomis, District Attorney's Office. The author of the brief is Patrick King, and I've had some discussions with him as to what he would like to see happen. And what he is asking for is for a motion that would authorize either Ms. Langer or myself to sign the brief as with the bar number in support of the amicus brief. So if the commissioners are inclined to support the filing of the amicus brief, then what I would ask is that the motion be one authorizing somebody from the district attorney's office to go ahead and sign off on the brief.
I'm good with that?
I'm good with that.
All right.
Will we incorporate that in the motion?
We'll just make the motion that way.
So, yes. Yes.
All right. So we'll get a motion to approve the amicus brief.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Correct.
I'll take staff.
Okay.
In accordance with the recommendation of staff and the supporting documentation and findings enclosed herewith, I, Lance Gilman, motion to approve Resolution 19-527 to be a signatory to the Carson Water Subservicency District CWSD submittal of an amicus brief with the Nevada Supreme Court opposing the use of the public trust doctrine to be applied to water rights already adjudicated and settled under the doctrine of prior appropriation. All documentation to be approved by the Story County District Attorney's Office.
So there's no resolution. So basically what we're going to do is either keep it myself or going to sign off on the amicus brief that is in front of you, so the words regarding a resolution would not be included in the motion.
All of the above.
Yeah, except for
strike,
that.
We're just going to strike resolution 527.
Right, thank you.
And authorize you with the district attorney's office to sign off on the
amicus
brief.
Yeah, okay. I have a motion on this for the district attorney's office to sign off on it. Do you have a second?
I'll second it.
Moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously.
Great.
Thank you.
Hey, Ms. James. Move along now to item number 8, discussion of possible action. Possible approval of proposal for civil engineering services from Far West Engineering for the site design for the proposed Justice Center not to exceed $68,900. Mr. Northend.
Thank you, Commissioners. Mike Northend, Operations Projects Coordinator. This is a proposal by Far West Engineering to provide site design and civil engineering design for the 341 site, the site down by the jail. Part of what's going on is this is hand in glove with the following agenda item that you're going to see in preparation for proposed construction of a proposed facility down by the jail site. The reason this is the proposal is written the way it is, and it's a separate item, is because there's some grading and drainage issues that are ongoing down there that we're going to have to address whether we move forward with the proposed facility or not. So,
and if I may, Mr. Chairman, subject to Mike's concurrence, this is an evolving project that Mike will explain in greater detail.
Yeah,
with the next one, our recommendation at this time is we want to continue this item, quite frankly, to the April 16th meeting. And the reason is it is evolving. We may want Far West. One way or another, we need to address drainage issues. Whether or not we address other issues embedded into the current scope of work is questionable. So we want to split the two, we think. I'm looking at Luke. And probably make sure we have an escape clause on the second procedure, because there are options that are under consideration. So the simple motion is going to be, please continue it to April 16th.
Item 8?
Yeah.
And 9?
No, 8 only. Okay.
That's April 18th?
16th, I believe.
16th.
Is there any public comment regarding this item? Very now, if we can get a motion to continue this item.
I'll motion to continue this item to April the 16th.
One second.
Moved and second to continue this item to the 16th of April. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Moving along now to item number 9. Discussion of possible action. Possible approval proposal for architecture, structural, mechanical, plumbing, and electrical engineering services for the design of a new single-story 12,900 square foot building shell and phase one tenant improvements to house the Justice Court, IT, and dispatch in the amount not to exceed $305,000. Mr. Northam.
All right, this proposal is dovetails with the Port Myer one. They're going to build a proposed facility down there at the jail site. Before I get too deep into it, I do want to take you through just a brief synopsis of how we arrived here, why we're looking at this particular design and concept. As early as about 2002, there were conceptual designs for a facility down at the 341 site that would consolidate the sheriff's office, fire department, district attorney's office into a single facility that was really an expansion of the existing jail facility. Those original concepts were done by T. Snyder Kinsey, a great architectural group I've had the pleasure to work with before. Then in 2010, activity picks back up and we see another proposed jail facility expansion. This time was done by Hannafin Design Associates. This was a substantial expansion of the jail facility with some site development. Between 2010 and 2016, there were numerous sketches and conceptual designs along the lines of a consolidated facility plan, amalgamating some county services into a single point. In 2016, there was a pretty good uptick in activity, and attention turned to alternate building sites. Along with various sites, some existing buildings were considered for expansion or renovation. Some of the sites discussed were the acquisition and remodel of the KOP building up here at 30 North B Street, just a block down on B there. In addition to the DA's office at 205 South C Street, there were areas north and south of the existing courthouse that were considered, as well as a proper addition to the courthouse. Some locations out in TRI were discussed, the B of A building, which is now the VCCC, the visitors, conference center, on Union Street there, and even the Black and Hull site has been considered. All of these sites were pretty carefully considered, looking in the file, including the development of conceptual plans on up to preliminary construction estimates. Some of these estimates were pretty high. We were looking at around $600 per square foot at times. These small, crowded sites typically means that construction vehicles and materials are staged off-site. You start remoting things, costs go up. You can get into very severe topography on these sites, and costs go up. You have existing and historical buildings and or ruins on-site, and the costs go up. Also, in 2016, we started to see greater contact with CHD, Comstock Historic District, regarding design suitability and historical standards. By mid-2017, there was a project restart with attention turned back to the 341 site as probably the best site in terms of suitability, room to build, cost, availability, proximity to the existing jail facility, and of course there's an interaction interaction there in function between these two facilities. Preliminary planning began with respect to the gross size based on the number, size, type, and function of anticipated tenant departments. And looks like it'll wake up. So you're going to see, hopefully, in a second here, a site plan that was developed as a result of this. Fading slowly into view there. So this is the site plan that's been a result of a lot of planning that's gone into this to this point. Planning on the building exterior continued, and this is partly to be in compliance with CHD architectural standards. And the shell building size, we were looking at maximizing building area balanced against cost per square foot. As you start getting larger, we can start managing cost per square foot a little better. The building macro design was shaped by the location on the site and the building orientation and the interaction with the existing jail facility, but there were a lot of ingredients that went into this site plan, including grading and drainage, which is a big problem we're going to have to deal with on that site anyway, parking, snow removal, trash storage, fire truck access, and site utilities. This gives you an idea of the proposed exterior elevations. This would be the northeast and southeast sort of faces of the building. This is what we've arrived at. This is a CHD-approved design this time. Needless to say, there's been a great deal of thought and planning has gone into this project long before I got involved with it. The site and the proposed building design is really a result of all of that planning and debate and hair-pulling. Represents the best of all possibilities, or more cynically, it's the least bad of all the potential sites and building concepts. As you'll see in the staff report, this building is a substantial investment in county infrastructure, and as such, should be protected by involving professional site design, professional architectural, and mechanical, plumbing, and electrical design to provide a quality product that will stand for some years. For the county to use in providing services to the people of Story County. I will point out also, you heard me talk about some of these cost estimates reaching up into $600 per square foot range. As a way to control costs more rigidly, what we've done is establish a maximum budget rather than a construction budget, to which is added things like A&E fees and connection fees and a variety of things. We started with a hard maximum and then backed out some of these fees based on projected costs, leaving us with an actual construction budget of 3.2. And you'll see there's some connection fees. There's the, of course, emergency generator. That's a kind of a special item because it's not really part of the building contract. It's something we're going to provide. We have a 10% construction contingency. This is important because there could be unknown subsurface conditions discovered. A lot can happen. So it's a responsible amount to have as a contingency. And we've also budgeted for FF&E, which is, you know, fixtures, furniture, and equipment, you know, things, chairs and desks and stuff that are not typically part of the building. And as a result of all that, given the square footage, we are now standing currently at about $248.06 per square foot constructed cost.
If I may add, when Mike said a considerable amount of work was involved before it was given to him, that would be primarily me, Comptroller Gallagher, Chairman McBride. This is a result of the district court judge's desires to allow Justice Court to have its own separate building. This building, as Mike, can you go back to the footprint? This building that you see, that would be on the lower left quadrant, that building is substantially larger than just the Justice Court. It was designed that way on a preliminary basis by DeVay Group, who is proposing
this to be the architect and the project manager. That building is designed hopefully someday to accommodate not only Justice Court, but also the Sheriff's Office and the District Attorney's Office, although both of those officials are currently very comfortable at 205 South C Street, and we have assured them that we are only going to shell that portion.
That's correct.
So no TIs inside, and then we have known all along that we have issues with where dispatch and IT is located, and we would want to move them into this building as well. Go back to the Costco page, if you would. I'm going to be very blunt. I struggle tremendously in my last less than 90 days here at forking out $4 million of taxpayer money for this. I think there are options. Options are why we asked for you to continue the previous item. I would suggest an amendment to my recommended motion. Pete has made a proposal. This is not a contract. When Pete and Mike and I and Hugh met yesterday, we talked about an escape clause that we could stop work. Every time Pete comes up to a meeting, puts a pen in his hand, there's an hourly bill that goes with it. So we want to be able to assess options. We might be able to look at temporary quarters. I've asked the judges if they would kindly consider maybe waiting another three-ish years, because there's a very positive, I think, cost-effective solution. And that answer was no, it needs to be done. So, and I'm not throwing them under the bus. They have their reasons. But $4 million is a huge price tag, as everybody knows. So huge that Hugh and I have discussed whether or not we'd even need to go out to USDA funding, which brings a whole nother set of rules, restrictions, timeline delays. So my recommendation is to approve the motion as is in your staff report, but add to it that it would be subject to District Attorney's Office review. Pete indicated he was going to give us a standard AIA contract, which I believe is the Architectural Institute of America or something to that equivalent. But it needs to be turned into a contract, and you authorize the county manager, subject to district attorney review of that, to make sure we do have an escape clause in there that should we stop at a certain point, we are under no obligation to continue paying them.
Question. I'm assuming that none of this project yet has been or had the benefit of competitive bidding. We haven't seen competitive bidding for construction.
Not yet, because it's not designed to that point yet. That would be a lot of where this $300,000 would go, Commissioner Gilman. We have worked primarily with the to get modeled rates. We have, and I'm not going to say this name correctly, but we have built or worked with Shaheen Beauchamp on the building itself. They are the ones that did the second phase of the community center and gotten estimates. Those estimates probably go up each time we wait. That's the reason why we wanted to shell out the whole building. But the simple answer to your question is no competitive bidding yet. That would obviously be part of the process.
This is a big number to swallow, $4 million for a new complex. You know, with only 4,000 residents in the county, $4 million, that's a lot of money.
There's a lot of places to put that money in our county today. Okay. And I would really want to look at an alternative.
We know that we need to make some improvements to some of, you know, for IT and communications. We know that they're packed in too tight now. But there might be some alternatives for those persons, and there might be opportunities for the county, as the county manager witness pointed out, if we can just hold off a couple of years on this project.
And again, if I may, I'd like to clarify, holding off, at least based on a visit that I had with our district court judges, may only mean we're going to have to come up with a temporary solution that we're still working on, holding off and leaving them in this room, in my opinion, is not an option.
So the plan would be to continue this as opposed to authorizing expenditure of money for design at this point in time?
No, I would ask that you read the motion as it's indicated and add in there that you would authorize the county manager to sign once Mr. Dubay presents the contract and it's reviewed by the district attorney's office. And the reason for that, Commissioner Gilman, is I want that escape clause in there. We may need to do a little bit more work.
You're talking about the contract to issue for design and engineering, not the contract to build or the
approval
to build.
Absolutely, yes. Yes. Yes.
Jay, do you want to weigh in?
I agree with you guys both. I mean, it's definitely a large chunk of money.
And that's not even with the TI improvements, you know, for a lot of that building. So. Well, we take public comment on this item. No brave takers, huh? Okay.
So the option is to not approve the engineering at this time. If we are lukewarm on building the facility in the first place, I'm not sure why we'd want to put an estimated $305,000 out today on a speculative if we're going to build it or not. So I'm inclined to think that we might want to continue this for the shorter or longer term and explore the interim solutions, if we may, because I don't see authorizing the $305,000 if, in fact, we're all considering at this point the slow play to build out the building.
I wouldn't argue that, Commissioner Gilman, except to say I have committed to both district court judges that we would continue the process of finding a place for the Justice Court. And while we have at least two alternative sites in mind, they are going to be kind of slow to play out. And I would suggest approving, as I've mentioned, but again, it's not my call. It's way over my contract limit. Put it that way.
I'm inclined to delay at this point.
Even with 305,
yeah. Well, I'd like to explore the options before we come back and look at spending the money.
Well, simply by approving it, though, as Pat pointed out, we'd have an escape clause in there. Stop the action, stop the process if any time necessary. So,
the engineering and design.
Yeah.
Correct.
But I think, yes. Hey, go right ahead.
I just wanted to add, we're at max capacity up here in the space and trying to work together and navigate around. I totally respect the ticket, the price on this, and I'm not sure what Pat's temporary solutions are, but just from being in this building every day, all day, we're hoping for something to give us some more space. So, you know.
A statement of which I totally agree with.
Thank you, Vanessa. I think that I would be inclined to go forward with the contract in the event that we show the district judges we are moving forward. We have the process. If the alternative thoughts that we had out there don't come to fruition, we haven't stopped the ball from going forward on this.
And I'd be happy individually, subject to DA's approval, to review a short list in my head and Hughes of what some of those options are, but I'm not at liberty to disclose those yet as they're out of our control currently. But it does It does hinge around certain properties possibly becoming available in 3 to 5 years. That would probably be much more cost effective, to be honest, and very suitable for as a substitution for this process.
But 3 to 5 years out?
Yes, but we would still have, we are still assessing temporary options as well. So
I wonder about some benchmarks on $300,000. I'm assuming that our engineering groups, our mechanical and structural, et cetera, are not going to run up a $305,000 bill in the first 30 days, if you will. So there might be some benchmarks that we could check off. So as we move forward and we find a suitable alternative, that we aren't in the full.
I would agree. There are, I believe, in Pete's proposal, there are 30, 60, and 90% benchmarks on design.
Those are deliverable points.
Yeah. So I would totally agree with you. And I'm, to the extent we can, while we cement the temporary option, I don't intend to spend any more money than necessary. We canceled next week's meeting, so that will save us a couple hundred bucks right there in Pete's time.
And certainly the final design will come back to the commission for approval.
Absolutely, yeah, of course.
Subject to the benchmark program, I'm cautiously optimistic we got to look at this.
Okay. Do you want to make a motion with those two added into that?
Okay. I, Lance Gilman, motion to approve the proposal for architectural, structural, mechanical, plumbing, and electrical engineering services for the design of a new single-story, 12,900-square-foot building shell and Phase 1 tenant improvement to house the Justice Court, IT, and dispatch in an amount not to exceed $305,000.
And we'd ask Commissioner Gilman if you could append that to say and authorize the county manager to sign the contract once presented from the debate group, subject to legal approval.
So the motion will also continue. The county manager will be authorized to execute a contract on a form acceptable to the district attorney's office.
Very good. I have a motion.
I'll second that.
Moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Okay, let's do this. Let's recess until we hear the new whistle, and then we'll start with budgets. Is that okay?